Reading from the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for this day. And while the weather may not be beautiful, it is a beautiful day, Lord, because this church is open once again. We thank You for the fellowship that we share one to another. And we ask now that You turn our thoughts heavenward. And we ask that the worship that we offer to You in love be acceptable and pleasing in Your sight. May the words as spoken here today be Your words, Lord. And may the spirit as felt here be Your spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 40. Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. May the good Lord bless reading of His Word.
Some time ago, there was a preacher named Luther Bridges. Him and his wife Sarah had three sons. And in 1910, Pastor Bridges accepted an invitation to minister at a conference in Kentucky. So leaving his wife and children with in-laws, he set out for the bluegrass. And the conference he was at lasted 2 weeks, and it was a wonderful conference. It was great. And right at the end, he had got a phone call. He was summoned and somebody wanted him on the phone. Well, he thought it was his wife, and he couldn't wait to tell her of how marvelous the 2 weeks it had been. But it wasn't his wife's voice that he heard on the phone. He stood there in silence as he heard that the house of his in-laws had burned to the ground, and that his wife and three boys had all perished in the blaze. And leaning heavily on the Savior in the time of the grief and the sorrow, he penned the words to that hymn that we just sang. This was his response to his tragedy. "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers, sweet and low, 'Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still.' In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." And this from a man who had just lost his wife and his three children. Now, every one of us has been impacted by tragedy to some degree.
whether it be illness, infirmity, death, or any number of thousands of things that can touch us, we all experience pain. Whether it be pain of a broken body, or a broken heart, a broken spirit, tragedy has touched us all. Whether the pain is physical in nature or spiritual, we have all been affected. And you know what? Jesus said it would be this way. In John 16, he said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We need to remember that when tragedy comes our way, Jesus is more than adequate to take care of the situation. And there is more to this verse in John 16 than the certainty of trouble in this world, because Jesus says to have peace, be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. In our scripture reading today, we find a father who is experiencing a tragedy. And in my mind, the tragedy of tragedies for a parent, and that is a shadow of death hanging over a child. His heart was breaking, but in the midst of his pain, he turns to the only source of comfort that could ease that pain. And he discovered that Jesus was indeed more than enough for this time of tragedy. In verse 40, we read, "And it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house." Jairus, or Jairus as some people pronounce it, was a man of no small accomplishment. We are told that he was a ruler of the synagogue, that he was a man of prominence, a man of position, a man of power in his community. He was a man who seemingly had it all. But at that moment, I'm sure none of it mattered to him. Now, there were two officers in a synagogue. There was one who was called the overseer of the congregation, and this was the fellow who took the book of the law and handed it over to the ruler. And the ruler determined who would read different sections of the scripture. Now, this was Jairus. This was the ruler, the governor of the synagogue. When Jairus spoke, people listened. When he walked into a room, he commanded respect. But now he finds himself in a very humble place. He found himself in a place where none of this mattered any longer. And you know, sickness and death has a way of doing it to a person. Because sickness and death could care less about who you are, or what you have, or what others think about you. And I'm quite confident that at that moment, Jairus had a very clear perspective on what really mattered in his life. The only possession he had at that instant, the only possession that was of any value to him, was his faith. It was the only thing that could give him hope in this seemingly hopeless situation. And his faith brought him to the feet of the Savior. Now, it would seem from the gospel accounts that the rulers did not accept Jesus. But the fact is that many did believe in him. John 12, verses 42 and 43 tells us that many of the chief rulers believed on him. But they kept it to themselves for fear of being put out of the synagogues by the Pharisees. Because they valued the praise of men more than the praise of God. They kept it to themselves. And while this passage is probably aimed at members of the council like Nicodemus, no doubt there were many rulers of the synagogues who also had a saving faith. And I believe that Jairus was one of them. Men who believed but were afraid. Men who loved the praise of men, the honor, the special treatment that comes with status. Men who feared losing what they had. Feared being disgraced. You know, it takes very little to profess being a Christian when there is no harm in doing so. When there is no sacrifice to be made. How easy it is to profess the love of God when all you receive in return is a nodding approval of others or perhaps a blank stare every now and then. How easy it is to convince yourself that you love God more than you love the world until something comes along to convince you of something else. That God was never real to you. Not in a saving way. How tragic it is when someone really comes to know themselves only when their world caves in around them and they have nowhere to turn. How tragic that is, but that is not the case here. Jairus' daughter, his only daughter, was dying. And it drove him to risk everything else that he thought he valued, because you see, in this tragedy, Jairus came face to face with the reality that his faith in Christ was more important to him than his position in the synagogue. Because he fully understood that Christ was his answer, he understood that it was to the Savior that he needed to go, to Christ and to no one else, because it was in Christ alone that his hope was to be found. Now, to paraphrase what Mark tells us about this incident, that Jairus was in the crowd waiting on the shore for Jesus to come back. And how long he had waited, we do not know. But how difficult the wait that must have been. His daughter lay dying. Perhaps even as he waited, she was already dead. And when Jesus arrived, Jairus stepped out of the crowd. Not Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, but Jairus, the desperate father. He steps out to ask for help. In a combination of events of Jesus' ministry, Matthew simply tells us that he worshipped him. But Mark fills in some of the details, saying that he fell at Jesus' feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And for a religious leader, this must have been a very humbling experience. But I would imagine that he didn't care. I believe that life had become crystal clear to him. He must have thought previously that he had the world by the tail, or so to speak. He had prestige. He had authority. He had success by the world's standards. But his real treasure in this life was his family. And only his faith in God could protect them now. Death had come to the house of Jairus. Matthew said that she was dead. But I'm told that the original wording does not necessarily mean that death had literally occurred. It just means that it's imminent, it's assured, or was in progress. The daughter was dying. And maybe Jairus expected to get the sad news at any moment, even as he stood there waiting for Jesus to arrive. But still, there he was. And his face sent him to his master's feet. Now this is something that many people never learn. Before you're ever going to get anywhere with the Lord, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to come to that place where it is He that is everything, and not yourself. When we come to the place where we realize that we are full of inability to provide what it is that we truly need, when we see our own inability and His ability to provide it, then and only then are we in a position to receive what we really need from Him. One of the greatest truths in the Bible is this: the way up is down. Get off of that throne of your life. Amen. There's no room there for two. In verse 41 we read, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house." When this man comes to Jesus, he falls down before him and makes his petition to the Lord. And he says to Jesus, "I cannot do this thing, but I believe that you can." What a statement of faith this is. Because this isn't just some ordinary run-of-the-mill event. It's occurring. This is his daughter's life. And he goes to the Savior and says, "You can help me." And my brothers and sisters, that is where we have to get in life. Whether it be for the salvation of our own soul, or the salvation of a loved one, or help in times of tragedy, we have to get to the point where we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that while we cannot provide what we need, Jesus can. You know, some people spend their entire lives accumulating power and wealth. But when tragedy comes, those things mean absolutely nothing. Sickness and death don't care if you're a millionaire. Your popularity, your power and prestige will not protect you from sorrow. When tragedy and death come calling, you better know one greater than yourself. Amen. You better know where to go to get the help that you need. Now it may be that it is at the depths of despair will be the place where you will find the one that's greater than you. It could be that you may learn the path to comfort after being crushed by tragedy. But oh, how a bitter way this is to learn the truth. And how unnecessary it is. Because the Savior waits for you now. The Savior waits for you now before tragedy strikes. Now somewhere down the line, Jairus had heard of Jesus. And somehow, God had opened his eyes to the truth. And here he was waiting for Christ to help him. But there's something peculiar about this whole account, because it seems right in the middle of a narrative about the miracle of the healing, there's another miracle, another healing. And from the other end of the social spectrum, we are told of Jairus, a religious leader, and then we are told of this woman, who by her condition would not even have been allowed in the synagogue, because she was probably considered ceremonially unclean by Leviticus 15. And according to the law, anything or anyone she touched become unclean as well. So she was no doubt avoided by anyone that knew her. The crowd pressing around Jesus would have been no exception. Unclean, unclean, unclean! If it really mattered to them anyway, because out of all the touching that was going on, it was this one woman who Jesus took note of. One touch of faith. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Well, I'm sure Peter couldn't believe his ears. "Who touched you?" "Everybody's touched you, Jesus. Half of Cleveland is here. And they've all touched you. What do you mean, who touched you?" But one touch was different. One touch was a touch of faith. "If I can just touch his clothes," she thought. "If I can just get close enough to touch his garment, I will be made whole." And you know something? She was. Now by the law, each and every person who bumped into her would have been unclean. And this includes Jesus. But after 12 years of suffering, and having the ailment consume all of her finances, she was desperate for a miracle. When she heard about Jesus, she came up from behind him in the crowd. "If I can just touch his clothes, if I can just touch him, I will be healed." And in that instant, Jesus did what no doctor in 12 years had been able to accomplish for this woman. The woman pressed to touch him, but she was unclean. The law made her unclean, and everyone she touched or who touched her was made unclean. But you know something? This little narrative speaks volumes about Christ. Because what the law declares unclean, Christ made whole. Christ made whole. The contamination of this world has no effect on him. And through Jesus Christ, the penalties of the law are made to be no effect. The woman did not make Jesus unclean. He made her clean. He made her whole. And he does the same for each and every sinner who comes to him in faith seeking forgiveness. But let's get back to Jairus for a moment. When Jairus shares his story with Jesus, the Lord agrees to go with him. And again, as with the woman, Jairus had reached out to Christ in faith. And out of all the crowd that had gathered to meet the Lord, it was Jairus who got Christ's attention. What a blessed truth this is, that when you bring your need to Jesus, Christ hears and will come to meet you. But after getting the Savior's attention and after starting for home, the pair is pressed about. They are thronged by the masses. They are crushed, as it were. And then Jesus stops to take care of someone else. But you know something? The Bible doesn't say a word about Jairus growing impatient or restating his case or pleading for urgency of his situation. Even when receiving the news of his daughter's death, he seems to be at peace. And this is as it should be for those who truly place their trust in the Savior. Mark 5 tells us that as soon as Jesus heard the word spoken about the girl's death, he said to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." Now these are words of comfort, to be sure. Be not afraid. Fear not. Be of good cheer. This is what Christ has to say to those who follow him. Be at peace. And I have no doubt that Jairus felt the embrace of Christ's love all about him. None of the gospel writers ever record anything about Jairus impatiently pulling at his robes to hurry him along, or of him interrupting Christ's discussion with this poor woman, protesting about the delay. We don't read about him saying, just wait your turn. I'm first in line here, lady. Jesus is sending to my needs at the moment. You'll just have to wait your turn. No, absolutely not. He merely waits until Jesus is free and can continue on with him. That this is a response of faith. Here is a man who has placed his problem in the hands of Jesus, and he left it there. Regardless of the issue, whether it be salvation, sickness, heartache, or whatever, when we bring it to Jesus, we must learn to do the same thing. We must learn to leave our problems with the Savior.
Amen.
And we must learn to seek for God's will to be done, and not our own. And we must pray for the grace to accept His will with a heart that's at peace. After all, God's will is best. It's perfect. And we all see our situations differently and in a way that is far from perfect. Jairus heard those tragic words, "Your daughter is dead." But what an impossible situation this must have been for a father to face. His daughter was no longer sick. Now, his daughter was dead. But what is impossible to face without faith is not so in the Master's care. Christ says to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." The Lord is saying to him, "Don't believe what you think you hear. Don't believe what you think you know. Don't believe what you think you see. Just believe in me. Trust me." And that is what faith is still saying to us today. Faith looks away from the hopeless and looks to the great hope of every believer. The hope of Christ, the hope of the resurrection. God will work it all out, but in His own time and in His own way. And we must have faith that His way is the best way. His way is the only way. Any other path leads to certain destruction. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but the end of all of men's plans is the grave. In every case, and for every person. It is only by placing ourselves in God's hands that our eternal security is assured. And this is in every case and for everybody. When Jesus took that child by the hand and told her to rise, and she did, the Bible says that her parents were astonished. And the word literally means to be put out of your wits, to become beside yourself, to become astounded, to become insane. Her parents got more than they asked for. They asked for a healing. And what they got was a restoration of life. And Jesus will do the same for all of God's children. But better than this. For it is not just a resuscitation of this mortal jar of clay that He offers. It is a resurrection to a body incorruptible. It is a great Christian hope. The hope of the resurrection into eternal life. The parents got more than they asked for. And He is waiting to do the same for each and all of us and for our lives today. He is waiting for you to bring your impossible situation to Him. Leave it with Him by faith and trust Him to deal with it in His own time, in His own way, and by His own means. But some of you may need to bring more than your problems. You may need to bring your soul to Jesus today. You may still need to be saved. Sometimes our pride can get in the way of saying, "Well, I know I've been saved. I've been a church member all my life. I'm better than 9 out of 10 people I meet. If anybody's saved, it's me. You looked up child of God in the dictionary, there would be my picture." Maybe it's so, maybe it's not. Maybe you're just deceiving yourself. At the very moment, the man's daughter is dying. And at the time that a woman is desperate for a healing, Jesus just happens to be passing through their town. Jairus, a person everybody looked up to and wanted to be near. And a woman, a person that no one wanted to touch. A person in charge of the house of worship, and a person who wasn't even let inside. And Jesus just happens to pass by them both. And they both get their miracle. Was this just a happy coincidence? I don't believe so. Not for a moment. There's too much detail in this story. There's a lesson for us here, an eternal lesson. And that is that Jesus is always passing by. He's always there for those who reach out to meet Him, who reach out to Him in faith. But without your faith, he passes you by. Because we don't read of anyone else in that crowd that received anything on that day. We read of two people who expressed faith and trust in the Savior, and they both got their miracle. We don't read of anyone else. Why were they there? Did anything happen in their lives? The Holy Spirit, if it did, the Holy Spirit didn't think it worth recording. They come to Jesus, but they come to Jesus as sort of a sideshow. They come to Jesus as sort of a cosmic Santa Claus. What can you do for me today, Jesus? Can you make me whole? Can you feed me? Can you put money in my pocket? That's what they wanted. But they didn't have any faith. If Jesus didn't provide for them, they'd go somewhere else. They get what they wanted somewhere else. Well, if Jesus won't give me a fish sandwich, I'll go down and buy one. Big deal. But there was two people who came to Jesus in desperation and placed all of their eggs in one basket. Jairus could have went out looking for another doctor. And so could the woman. But they knew that wasn't where their answer was to be found. And Jairus went knowing that even while he stood there on that shore waiting for Christ to show up, that his daughter was dying. This was his last shot. This was his last effort for his child. And if this failed, his daughter would die. But he came to the Savior. And this woman risked everything. This woman risked everything. Who knows what would have happened if anyone in that crowd had recognized her. The Jews were really good about picking up stones and stoning people. Who knows what would have happened to this woman? She risked her life to go in that crowd to get near to Christ. And in what must have been the lowest point of his life, after learning of the death of his wife and his children, Pastor Luther Bridges wrote, "There is within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow." Faith in Christ can sustain you. And tell me, what else in life could have brought peace to this man? What else could have put Jairus on that shore waiting, waiting and waiting while his daughter lay dying? What else could have driven that woman to the crowd just to touch the Savior? Is this the faith that you have today? If it isn't, why not put things right? Why not do it today? Jesus is passing by. He's passing by if you're there with faith for Him. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, you need to reach out with that faith today and touch Him while there's still time, before He passes you by for eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, all too often we bring before You the concerns of our hearts, but we fail to honor You by trusting and believing. We harbor doubt in our hearts and suspicion that You don't hear us after all. Forgive us, Lord. Just forgive us. May we grow to trust You more with each passing day. And may our faith increase with each beat of our heart. We ask for Your blessings for those who are sick and for those who are troubled in spirit. Lord, if anyone here today needs to set things right with You, may Your Holy Spirit convict them at this hour that Your altar is open and give them the courage to come and ask for Your forgiveness in prayer. For it's in the precious name of our Lord and Savior we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.